Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
I'm so glad that you tune in today. We have another wonderful day that the Lord has given us. And Jesus is still alive and well, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And today I want to read from John chapter 17 and discuss that chapter, because here we see Jesus' high priestly prayer, and we see what God's mind and God's agenda is for this world and for this age. And so we find out what God's purposes are. We get into the mind of God in this chapter, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. You have a Bible and you're at home, or you're someplace where you can open it up, you might do it, because I want to go verse by verse through this chapter. It starts out and it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And so we see here that Jesus prays that the Father would glorify the Son, and that is, would glorify him. And glorify means to give honor, to give praise, to help people understand who Jesus really is. And the Bible teaches throughout that Jesus is the Lord God, Jehovah, creator of heavens and earth, and that he is the eternal God come to earth. And so it says God's purpose is that people would see who Jesus Christ really is. Now, Jesus' apostles, they always understood this, and they called him Lord. It was a title for God. And so they referred to him always as Lord. So it's God's purpose that Jesus is glorified, that he is praised, that he is honored, that his attributes are extolled, that people understand who he is. And I think this is one of the keys to a successful Christian life and a successful church. A dead church is not dependent on how much noise the congregation makes. Some churches are quiet and some are loud. And really, that is not so important as the fact that they glorify Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's duty to glorify the Lord, but also through preaching and teaching, we are to praise, honor, and glorify Jesus Christ. And if a church does not do this, it will be dead. But I tell you that when Christ is honored, glorified, and praised, that church will come to life. And as an individual, we need to praise and honor and glorify Jesus Christ. When problems come up, we can say, well, Christ is alive and well to our friends and to our enemies and to people in the world. It is the purpose of God to glorify Christ. And through Christ being glorified, God the Father is glorified and honored. We see Christ's glory. Isaiah 9:6, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." To a saved person, Jesus is Wonderful, Counselor. He is the source of all truth. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And so Jesus Christ is mighty and powerful. And so it is our job as individuals and as a church to glorify and praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and then glorify the Father through him. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh." Now, Jesus is simply not just a teacher. Today, the difference between a modernist or a liberal in religion is they look at Jesus as a teacher, and they call him master, but the Christian calls him Lord, calls him God. And here Jesus says that he has power over all flesh. He raised people from the dead in his day, but the Bible says one day that all that are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God, and God will raise them to eternal life or to judgment in hell. And so he is the one that has all power in heaven and earth. This person that lived on the earth for 33 years. And says that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, eternal life, that is a life that had no beginning and a life that has no end, is given to each one of us as individuals when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it always, that eternal life always was and always will be. Now, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, people know about Jesus, they've heard about him, and they look at him sometimes as a teacher or a revolutionary or all kinds of things about him. But when it says that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, know refers to an intimate knowledge, a personal knowledge. Now, people know about him, but they do not know him personally. Many people do not. The Bible says Adam knew his wife Eve, and that means that in a marriage relationship, they had personal physical contact and physical knowledge. In other words, a very personal and intimate knowledge. And just as a husband and wife have a personal, intimate knowledge, the Bible says that spiritually we have a personal, intimate knowledge with Jesus Christ. We know him personally through his words in the Bible, and he knows us personally. That's what eternal life is. We have a life with him. People, they may know about somebody, but if they get married to him, they have a life with that person. And so when we personally receive Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we begin a life with Jesus Christ. He knows us, and we know him, and he talks to us in his word, and we talk to him in prayer. See, and so we get eternal life, and that is a gift given to us when we receive Jesus Christ. And it's like getting married. When the two people say at the end of the ceremony, I do, the preacher says, I pronounced you man and wife. You know, God said, I do to you already. I do. But for you to have eternal life and to know God personally and have a life with him, you need to say, I do to Jesus Christ. You receive the Father, you receive the Holy Spirit by receiving Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you automatically receive the Holy Spirit and God the Father. So then in verse 4 of John chapter 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And so Jesus was here to glorify God the Father. And so our mission is to glorify the Father and the Son. By our witness, by our lifestyle, by everything that we do, it's to make known the glorious God of heaven. And God has left us there for that purpose. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, that's an amazing statement. No other man in history that I have known or ever read has made a statement like that. He says, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus always was. He's called the true God in eternal life. It is a false thing to say that he was created by God the Father, for Jesus always was. Now, as the Son, he had a beginning. But as Almighty God, he was forever. And he had Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw his glory. His eyes as a flame of fire, his face brighter than the noonday sun. An awe-inspiring personage. And we see that Ezekiel, when he looked up into heaven and he saw the throne of God with the stones of fire, and there was one sitting on the throne, the likeness of a man sitting on the throne, and it was Christ in all of his glory. So Jesus praised that, and so we are to glorify him. Now he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now a saved person, a person that has been born again, a true child of God, they keep the word of Jesus Christ. They're not interested what some theologian that makes up his philosophy says. They're not interested in what the newspaper or magazine says about religion or some PhD or DD or something. They're not interested in that. They're interested in what Jesus Christ said. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." You know, the true Bible down through the ages has been witnessed to by the Holy Spirit of God. And the true text is witnessed to by the Holy Spirit of God. As I study this issue about Bible translations, there's literally hundreds and hundreds made, and they come and go. But there's one text, Antiochian text, the Received text, the text of the King James Bible. It just keeps on going because it is the Word of God. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." They hear the voice of God speaking to them in the true words of God down through the ages. And of course, we said that the authorized King James is based on 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts and can be demonstrated and proved to go right back to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this because we want to warn Christians because of the colleges and teaching of many of these schools. They have been promoting a false Greek text that attacks the deity of Jesus in 100 places. Now, it says, "Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Now, once again, here it says Jesus has given us the words that he has given, that the Father gave him. We have the words. People say, "Well, what's the difference? We can believe the message," but the message is made up of words, and the message can be changed if the words are changed. You know, we've been offering for almost a year a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been eliminated from the modern versions of the Bible. And it's based on a corrupt text. It's based on a counterfeit text where Jesus is kicked out of his own Bible in 100 places. And I'm talking about the New International Version, the New American Standard, the Revised Standard Version, and all of these based on just a handful of Greek manuscripts that disagree with one another. You say, "Well, where do you get that?" You know, I have many books here that I would be willing to talk to you about, to show you the books, to give you these books, and you could investigate for yourself and check out the references in these. But again, I say that 99% of the Greek manuscripts will back up the King James against the modern counterfeits that take out the names of Jesus in 100 places and attack major teaching and doctrine of the Bible. God has given the words. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And it says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." I have a book at home, and I'm glad to distribute these and tell you where you can find them and get them. But it's an 1,100-page book, almost like an encyclopedia, and it shows they keep these ancient Bibles in museums all over the world. And you could check the readings on any given verse of these. And this book shows the readings. And the first Bible in the English, it started with the Gothic and then went on through the Anglo-Saxon and Old English. And yet these Bibles show that the words that are in the King James are in these Bibles, maybe in a different translation, but they're there all the way through from the time of Christ. And so I reiterate again, the Bible talks about the great apostasy in the book of Revelation chapter 3, right before Christ comes back, and Christ is outside the church. Why? They picked up a corrupt Bible. We've had the true text for 1,900 years. So it says here, "Now they have known that all things whatever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them thy words, which thou gavest me, and they have received them and known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." You know, as I'm reading the Bible, the big argument is you can't understand the King James. It's strange that people that have not been to college, those churches are using the King James more than the ones that have gone to college. You mean that when you go to college that makes you more ignorant? of words that you can't understand. And I look at all these words, they're very simple, and you can't understand them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now, Jesus Christ is glorified in us as we live a holy life. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back. Thank you.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
Now, also, I'm giving out, as I have done for a long time, it seems like, though, people keep calling in. And so if you would like 100 places written on a piece of paper where the names of Jesus have been taken out of the modern versions, like the New International Version, the RSV, the New American Standard Bible, and most of the rest of them, where the names of Jesus have been kicked out, taken out, put out, I have a paper, and I will send it to you. If you have called in before and you didn't get it, you could call in now, and I'll try to send this out. The number to call is 901-0933, 216-901-0933, and that's at the station. We have a fellow here that's the board operator, and he's all ready to go, and he'll take your phone number and address and your name, and I'll send you this paper. We're 100 places, and it has the exact spot, so you can check it for yourself. I just wish, if you think what I'm saying is wild or something, we have the facts, and we can point you to information that you can check everything I say out for yourself. You don't have to accept it just because I say it. I wish people would check out what I'm saying. And the number is 216-901-0933. And the long distance number is 1-888-677-9673. 1-888-677-9673. And we will be glad to send you out this paper. Now we're going to continue on here. And it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, the only one that was lost was Judas Iscariot. And he never was saved because he never called Jesus Lord. He called him master. Half the churches today, they look at Jesus as a teacher. And so they can teach what they want. They can correct Jesus or override Jesus in their doctrine and teaching. And that's why some of the wild stuff that is being taught, why churches can promote sodomy and abortion, because they look at Jesus as a teacher, but not as the Lord. The apostles always called Jesus Lord. That is a name for God. That means he's the final authority. And his authority is given through his words, the Bible. And so Jesus says, I've lost none of them. He makes a wonderful statement. If he saved you, the Bible says, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of redemption. And so Jesus says that if he saved you, he's going to keep you saved. I'm glad I'm not keeping myself saved, but Jesus is keeping me saved. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, you know, when you're fellowshipping with Jesus, it may be in prayer when you're praising and thanking him, or maybe listening to music that glorifies and honors Jesus Christ, there is an incredible joy that comes into your heart. Paul says it was so incredible and so wonderful that he calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is, he couldn't even describe how wonderful the joy is. And somebody that's saved, when they're praising and worshiping Jesus Christ, that joy is there with them. Or you get with your friends, and instead of talking about things in the world, maybe just get together and talk about Jesus and watch the joy come. I have given unto them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, the Bible says that God has given us his word, and he didn't take it away with the apostles. The Bible says the word of God liveth, it's alive, and it abideth forever. The DNA does not corrupt in the word of God. It stays the same. It abides. We have it, and it abides forever. God's word will always be with us. And Jesus has given us his words. And it says, because of that, we are not of the world, as I am not of the world. And because we are not of the world, says the world will hate us. You know, people, sometimes they hate people that are not of their group. And if we're saved, if we are a Bible-believing Christian, we take the Bible literally, which means we believe what it says, we're not of the world, and the world hates us. We're the only group that the media will criticize and slander of any religion. If any other religion is criticized, the media will be very upset. But when it comes to Bible-believing Christians, the media will criticize freely. And Jesus said that because we are not of them. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That is, the child of God is not of the world. We are not of this system. We have another mindset. Now it says, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's what this program is all about. People, they don't know what the truth is today. People say, I don't. There's so many ideas to believe. What should I believe? Well, thank God, God's word is truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I'm not going to listen to somebody that can talk in five-syllable words, but I'll listen to somebody that can go to a graveyard and raise the dead like Jesus did, or someone that can heal the sick, or someone that can cast out demons like Jesus did, or someone that has all power in heaven and earth and demonstrated to many people. The words of Jesus Christ are truth, and Jesus said he would protect them in his word. And we have it today in the Authorized King James Bible, and you can trust it and believe it. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.